In the parasha's Toldos, we have the famous story. Everybody knows every year the same story. Esav comes in. He says to Yaakov, "I'm a little bit hungry. Didn't have lunch yet. I've been out hunting all day. Please give me some of that red stuff over there that you're cooking." Yaakov says, "All right, no problem. One condition: sell me the bechor. You're a bechor. I'd like to buy it from you." So Esav says, "Well, what do I need it for anyway? I'm anyway going to die." And he sells it to him. That, in a nutshell, is the parasha that we're dealing with, as we're going to explain Be'ezah Hashem. The Mefarshim ask a few questions, very serious questions on the parasha that we just mentioned. The Mefarshim are asking, question number one: there's a halacha when you sell something. The halacha is called oino. You're not allowed to sell something for more than it's worth. Ask the Mefarshim a kasha: how did the sale of Esav's bechor work? It was worth a lot more than a bowl of soup. How is it possible? Mitzad choshen mishpat. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to charge more than a sixth. You're not allowed to overcharge someone. So the Mefarshim are asking question number one: how was it that the sale from Yaakov buying the bechor from Esav actually valid sale? Question number one. Question number two, another thing. Look at the loshon of the pasuk. The pasuk says as follows: Vayoyim Yaakov. This is Perek Chofei pasuk lamelamelamelav. Vayoyim Yaakov mochra kahayoyim es bechor sukali. And he continues, right? Sell me as today. Rashi explains what it means. A different pshat. Continues the pasuk. Vayoyim Yaakov hishavali kahayoyim. What's this kahayoyim? What's this today? What's the emphasis going on dafka today? Question number two. Question number three. Esav says something very interesting. What does Esav say? What's Esav's answer to Yaakov when he asks him to buy the bechor? For Yom Esav, Hinei anochi hoylech lamus. I'm going to die. V'loma zeh li bechorah. What do I need this bechor for? I'm anyway going to die. So Rashi tells us straight away, what does that mean? It means that he saw himself that if he's going to be avoided in the Beis HaMikdash, for sure he'll die anyway from not doing everything properly. So maybe if he's going to die then, he may as well die now. But what's pshat? I'm going to die, therefore I'll sell it to you. What's the connection? So these are the three very important questions that we have on this week's parasha. And I believe, Rabbi, that in this week's parasha there is a tremendous lesson for our Mahal HaChaim, for how we treat life, for life in general, for our way, how we should continue with our lives, that we can learn from this parasha. There's a Mayudiki Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Heim and Aleph, says as follows. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Levi Bachama, Omer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Lo'olam, Yargiz Odom Yetzahor al Yetzatoy, Shenema Rigzu Ba'al Techator, we say by Krishma Lamita. What happens if a person has a situation, says the Gemara, that the Yetzahor is coming? Do an Aveira. What do? Says the Gemara, simple. Learn Torah. Im nitzvu mutav. If that works, okay. V'im lav yasik b'Torah. Learn Torah. Shneim imu levavchem v'chule. Im nitzvu, then if the learning Torah saves you from doing the Aveira, mutav, then you'll be alright. V'im loy, v'im lav, yikru krishma, read Shema. Shneim am v'chule. V'im lav, and if reading krishma is not good enough, Yiskelo Yoim Hamisa. Remember that one day you're going to be in the ground. Your neshama will leave your guf. Your guf won't be in this world anymore. And therefore, that should hopefully stop a person from doing an aveira. The Gemara tells us over here the powerful tools of a person if he's in a situation where he's about to do an aveira. Says the Gemara, how do you get out of it? How do you save yourself from such a situation? Says the Gemara, three things: Torah, Kriya Shema, and Yom HaMisa. Very interesting, Rabbi Yisai. Over here by Esav, it's Punkt Faket. What does Esav say? I'm anyway going to die. I don't need my Bechor. Now, I would have thought, if you're using the most powerful tool that the Gemara is saying if a person's in a situation, that maybe Yom HaMisa would have reminded him of such a thing. I'd like to answer these questions with a story I heard from one of my rebbeim years ago, Kavaldiga Maisa. Beautiful Maisa, there's something that we can learn from this. The Maisa took place many years ago by the Abdurov. The Abdurov is one of the Mamash the Gedolim of the time. There was a fellow that unfortunately lost all of his money, came to the Abdurov and he said, Rebbe, what do I do? I don't have food to put on the table. I can't support my kids. What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this terrible situation? So the Abdurov thought for a moment and he said, okay, I'm going to give you a bracha. And you have to listen to my instructions. Whatever I say, you must follow these instructions to the T. She says, whatever you say, no problem. Whatever the Rebbe says, I'll do. So the Rebbe said, listen here. The first business deal that you get, you just take it. I don't care what it is, just take it. She says, wow, what a great, no problem, a bracha from the Abdurov, absolutely. And off he goes to his way, and he goes and stops into the local inn. Stops in the local inn to get maybe a drink, whatever, before he continues in his journey. And he sees over there in the inn, a whole commotion, there's a table, there's people crowding around the table, oohing and ahhing, everyone's looking. So he goes over to the table, see what's going on. Maybe there's an opportunity for a business deal over here, like the Abdurov, and maybe I can make some money. So he goes over to the table and he sees the most beautiful diamonds he ever saw in his life. The beautiful, polished, clean, sparkling diamonds. And he looks at the table, everyone's oohing and ahhing, and looking at these glistening diamonds and the light, it's absolutely gorgeous. And he thinks to himself, maybe this is what the Abdurov meant, maybe I can do a business deal and make some money. So he looks in his pockets, how much does he have? A ruble, 1 ruble. Not so much money in those days. All right. So he figures himself, I can only try. So he goes over to the guy selling it. He says, tell me something. How much are these costing? She said, oh, you want to buy something? Tell me. Make me an offer. How much money do you have? Give me an offer. Let's get going. So he goes in a quiet voice because I don't want everyone else to hear around the table. I have a ruble. The guy starts laughing. A ruble? A ruble? He says, there's a candy store next door. Maybe go and buy yourself a piece of bubble gum. He says, these are diamonds. Start telling his friend, this guy over here wants to buy diamonds with 1 ruble. Must be crazy. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's in a merry mood. And everyone's laughing at this guy. What are you doing? What are you crazy? The guy comes over to the table. And he's laughing and he's singing. And he's like, a ruble, a diamond, what's the matter? I've got a business deal for you, he says to the guy. This guy lights out. Oh, yeah? So I've got a great business deal for you. I'll sell you my oil and my bar. The guy's like, thinks in a second, hold on a second. Abdurov told me that the first business deal that comes to me, I have to take this business deal. So this guy's laughing, going, 1 ruble, I'll sell you my oil and my bar, no problem. So he says, okay. So the guy's like, for sure, what do you mean? Let's get a contract. He starts writing it down. Here I am, George Beltsbaum. I'm selling you my Olam Haba. 1 ruble. We'll sign it. We'll have Adim. Everyone was laughing. It was a merry mood. It was a great deal. This guy's thinking, the Abdurov told me. I've got to listen to him. He gives over his ruble, the last money that he had in his possession for the rest of his trip. He takes the piece of paper and he continues in his way. This fellow, again, everybody's laughing and joking. This fellow, a couple of minutes later, his wife walks into the inn and she sees everybody merry and dancing. Everyone's laughing. As if something just happened. She says, oh no, what happened? What's so exciting? What's going on? So he says, I'll tell you something so funny, it's unbelievable. I just saw this guy came in and he wanted to buy a diamond for a ruble. So I said, you're crazy, what's the matter with you? So I got a better business deal for you. I'll sell you my oil and my bar. She looks at him and she says, you sold him your oil and bar for 1 ruble? He says, yeah, come on, that was great, what a great fun, what a great job. She says, I'm going right now to the Rav, I'm getting divorced. Somebody that sells their Olim Haba for 1 ruble, I can't be married to you. And all of a sudden the mood is, serious, and he starts thinking, whoa, come on, take it easy, it was only a joke. What do you mean it's only a joke? Here's the piece of paper, you have it signed. You sold your Olim Haba, I'm going to get a divorce. So this guy just starts going, okay, come on, let's call the guy back, we'll call the guy, I'll buy it back from him. No, so he calls the guy, he runs after him, he calls him back. He says, give me my Olim Haba back, give me my Olim Haba back. The guy says, fine, no problem, there's a price. He says, oh, how much do you want? 2 rubles? No. 10 rubles? 100? No. I want 5,000 rubles. So he's looking, right? Looks at his wife. Then he looks at the guy. He looks at his wife. His wife is already, halfway down to the Rav's to get a divorce. And he thinks to himself, well, this is the chance for me to have a married life with my wife. Or I could just, So he says, okay, fine, no problem. He pulls out 5,000 rubles and he gives it to him. And this guy made some money. So the wife goes over to the guy and says, I don't understand. What type of business deal is this? What you said? You buy someone's oil in my bar for 1 ruble? You said, what's going on? So he says, I'll tell you, honest truth.
I went to the Afterov, and the Afterov told me the first business deal, take it, and you'll be Matzliach. So I took the first business deal, and I was Matzliach. She says, I need to speak to this Rav. She goes to the Afterov, and she says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Selling Olam Haba for 1 ruble, how is it possible? Who can do such a thing? It's worth 1 ruble. So the Abtarov said a tremendous vort, which is again going back to our parasha. And the Abtarov explained that at the time where your husband sold his Olam Haba for 1 ruble, it was only worth 1 ruble, because that's how much he viewed it being worth. But the moment he paid 5,000 rubles to get it back, then it was worth 5,000 rubles. Rabbeisai, there's a tremendous yisoid over here. The original question that we asked before by Esav. I know, how can Esav sell his bechor? For how much? For a bowl of lentils, a bowl of red soup? It's worth much more than that. You're not allowed to buy like that. The Mefarshim asked, the sale is not valid. The answer is no. It all depends how you view something. It all depends how you look at something. The value and the worth that you give it is the value that it's actually worth. And I want to show you, Rabbi, it's that beautiful Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of the second Perek in Ovos. Says Rabbi, Ezi Derech Yishorosh Yovel Adam. And he continues, a person should be as careful as an easy mitzvah, a light mitzvah, as a chomor, a heavy mitzvah. We don't know the true value of a mitzvah. We can't come along and judge and evaluate this one is worth more than that one. No way, says the Mishnah, we don't know the value. Continues the Mishnah, listen to this. The heavy mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schora uschara veira keneged hefseda. Rabbi said, I don't understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah just told me, don't make a calculation. We don't know if this one is worth more than that one, and that worth more than that one. We have no idea of the value of a mitzvah. But then the Mishnah continues and says, make a calculation of the hefsed mitzvah keneged schora and the schora keneged hefsed. Well, 1 minute! You just told me that there is no calculation, there's no worth! Comes along Rabbi Isai, the Haflah, and the Haflah explains such a beautiful pshat in this Mishnah, and it's exactly the story that I'm trying to bring out in this week's parasha. Says the Haflah pshat in the Mishnah is, you're right, a mitzvah does not have a worth and a value against other mitzvahs. We have no idea what's a bigger, what's a smaller. We may think we do, but we don't, we have no idea. Abba says the Haflah, if a situation comes up when a person does a mitzvah with Mesiras Nefesh, when a person gives up for the mitzvah, the more value that you place on the mitzvah, that's how much the mitzvah is worth. And he gives an example, says the Haflah. Imagine if a person's in the middle of a business deal and he realizes, oh no, Shki is coming up in 10 minutes, I'm have to daven Mincha. But you're in the middle of a business deal. There's $2.5 million at stake over here. $2.5 million. Says the Haflah, if you stop and you daven that mincha is worth $2.5 million. The amount that you give the chashivas of the mitzvah, that is how much worth the mitzvah actually takes. And therefore, Rabbi said, there's no nafgamina between this mitzvah and that mitzvah, a chamor and a kal mitzvah. Because all mitzvahs are choshev, but the more chashivas and importance that you give it, is the more important the actual mitzvah is itself. It all depends on your value system. Are you looking at this world, or are you looking at the next world? We ask the question, why did Yaakov say, sell it to me, kahayoyim, like today? What's this kahayoyim doing in the parasha? Says the Sforno, what a beautiful pshat, Rabbi. So listen to this, this message will remain with you for the rest of your lives. Says the Sforno, why is Yaakov Avinu saying to Esav, sell it to me like today? What's today? Says the Sforno, beautiful pshat. And he explains that Yaakov is telling Esav, Esav, you're a hayoyim man. You're a today man, you're living for today with all the tithes and all the pleasures. Everything's living for now, 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 now. You're not thinking about the future. You're looking at what gives you the most immediate physical pleasure. What can I gain? More money, more pleasure, more enjoyment in this world. And if that's the case, you're a today man. You're an instant pleasure man. You're not looking for the future, says Yaakov Avinu to Esav. this does not have a place in Judaism. This does not have a place in Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is not about hayoim, today, live for today, like the American dream, right? Live.
Live, drink, and be merry.
For tomorrow you may die. Because that's all about living for today. Don't think about tomorrow. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is all about working. It's about Mesiras Nefesh. It's about a slow process. Every day, every hour, we do more and we do more and we build and we build. Yaakov is telling Esav, you're hayoyim. Everything's today. Instant pleasure. There was no, everything was kosher. Everything was okay for Esav. There was no limits. Because everything was for today. Everything was a physical thing. How many times do we do the same thing? We sell something, hayoyim, we want it now. And we sell our eternity. For what? Sometimes maybe it's a game of poker. Sometimes maybe it's a movie. Sometimes maybe it's a chat on the phone with the wrong... But I don't know what it is. But what are you doing? Essentially, you're taking something like an Aesop. And you're taking something and you're saying, hayoyim, I want that bowl of lentils now! What's going to be with my bechor later? I don't know. And what happened later, the ace of the posuk tells us later on in the parasha, that Yitzhak tzo'oka gedoylo mora admoid. Esav, after a few minutes of the pleasure, of this world, of having that bowl of lentils, realized what he gave up, the eternity, the schar, the reward of gewaldige life of ruchnius, and he gave it up for what? A bowl of lentils for a soup. How many times, Rabbi Yisai, do we do the same thing? Are we giving up eternity for something of hayoyim we're so interested in now? Everything has to be now. I want my pleasure now. If I don't understand the Gemara now, get the art scroll. Why? Because I can't understand it now. So therefore, I have to know it now. If we live like that, Rabbi Yisai, that's what Yaakov is telling Esav. Yaakov is telling Esav, you're a hayoyim man. And this is the order why the Gemara in Brocha says, if you have an aveir, what do? Torah, Krishma, and then Misa. Why don't you just jump to Misa? Just think of Yom Misa. Imagine a person's in a situation doing aveir, look at the Gemara, why don't you just think of Misa? What do you have to go through the whole process for? The answer is, say the Mephoshim. Because if you don't have a value system, Misa means nothing to you. Grave diggers are people that dig graves every single day, many times during the day. You think they think about it already? It's normal. If you don't have a value system, then Misa means nothing. First, you have to realize the chashivas of Torah, mitzvahs in this world. It's a slow process. It takes work. It takes effort. It's not so gishmak maybe sometimes at davening. It's not so gishmak opening up a daf Gemara. But if it's all about getting instant gratification now, that's not Judaism, Rabbi said. That's not Yiddishkeit. That's an Esav. An Esav, it means everything's got to be now. Everything's got to experience the pleasure. And that's why we all have to look for physical pleasure. Because it's now. As opposed to Ruchnius pleasure, which takes time, but it's so much more rewarded. Esav comes in and he realizes what he did after a few minutes of that pleasure of the soup. He realized, Yaakov, what did you do to me? For eternity now I'm stuck. For what? A bowl of soup. Rabbi, I want to tell you two amazing stories. Amazing stories. One of these stories, these are true stories. There was a woman, a young girl in Vienna, who had the most absolutely unbelievable voice. Absolutely amazing voice. This woman had such a good voice. She obviously sang in different situations. And people got hold of her and they realized that this woman has such potential. We can make her an instant star. We can make her an instant celebrity. No problem. They came to her and they gave her the offer. She was a very, very firm girl. And when they came to her with the offer, they said, we'll make you famous, we'll make you rich, everything. And she thinks about it and she really wants to do it. And her parents are going crazy. She's thinking about it. You know what that means? A goyish life, Shabbos, who knows? So she said, you know what? We'll take you to one of the Rebbe's who were coming in at the time. We'll take you to go and visit this Rebbe. So they go and visit this Rebbe. And the Rebbe says to her, tell me something, why is it that you want to go and do this job? What's in it for you? What are you looking for? She says, what do you mean? I can have a life of fame and fortune. People will be looking at me. People will be talking about me. Everyone will know me. I'll be famous. So the Rebbe says to her, let me tell you something. If you guarantee that you won't do this, I'm guaranteeing you right now, you will have a son that lights up the world more than any fame that you'll ever get in this world. And she thought about it and said, you know what? I'm taking it. her son, Rabbi Yisrael, she had a baby many years later, and her son lives right now in Bnei Barak. He's the Posek Hador of the entire generation, Rav Ozna, and that was her mother. His mother gave up Mesiras Nefesh. Why? She fame, fortune, now! But she gave it up for Ruchnius, and what did she get in return? Such a gewaltig gift! I'll tell you another Maisa, true Maisa. There was a Jewish from boy that unfortunately got into the wrong crowd. He eventually became a drummer in a nightclub. And every single night he would go drumming for this nightclub. He was really, really good, and everyone enjoyed his drumming. He was a real expert. Until one day, the dream came true. What every single musician waits for, what every single musician waits for is that somebody big comes in, a big producer comes in, he says to him, I've been listening to you for the last few weeks. I've been listening to you for the last few weeks, and I see that you are really, really good. I'm opening up a new band. I have everyone except the drummer. I'm taking all my band on a world tour immediately. Immediate world tour. You will be famous within days around the world. Now you can imagine this is an opportunity of a lifetime. You don't get this every day. Right? And this guy wasn't particularly from, although he had a shaykhist, his rebbeim in yeshiva that he originally learned with. So he says, I want to think about it for one day. He realized there's Chilul Shabbos. He realized there's probably Gilui Arayos. There's all sorts of averes that could go along together with it. But look at the good side. The money, the fame, the fortune. He goes to his Rebbe in yeshiva. He says, Rebbe, I have a really serious shaila. I don't know what to do. And he tells his Rebbe all the stardom of the shaila. It's good, it's bad, because of this, because of that. And the Rebbe says to him like this. The Rebbe says, listen here. I can't make this decision for you. I can't. Because this is a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life. You have to make the decision on your own. I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to write on one side all the advantages, and on the other side all the disadvantages. And then come back to me and we'll discuss it from there. And this way you'll have made the decision on your own. So this guy goes away. He takes a piece of paper and he writes down all the things. He comes back to his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, okay, I'm ready. So the Rebbe, you know, sits down with him and he sees on one side of the paper money. Yeah? He sees fame, fortune, TV shows, movies, unbelievable big limousines, restaurants, what a life! And the Rebbe's getting sweating over here thinking, my gosh, what's going to be on the other side of the page? He's got all these amazing things over there. There's got to be a pretty good other side of the page for him to come along and say a no. And he's going down the list and he's mentioned every single thing that, you know, flying first class and having bodyguards and security and getting into this. You can't imagine the most amazing thing that every single teenage boy would absolutely dream of having. And this is on his side of the advantages. So the Rebbe says, okay, let's turn the page now. Let's see what's on the other side of the page. And then we'll make a decision after that. They turn the page and there's only one word written on that side. Eternity! Says the boy, how can I give up eternity for a few little things in this world? Few excitement, enjoyment, physical pleasure. But what does it last for? Eventually it's gone. And when it's gone, it leaves a bigger gaping hole. The stipler brings a medrash. Where the medrash brings over here by Esav. That Esav was all excited because that bowl of soup. And he sold it. What do I need it for? I'm anyway going to die. No chashimas. He didn't give it the importance, and because of that he sold it. And what happened a little bit later was, he realized what happened when the soup went down and digested and gone. All of a sudden he was left without a bechor. Rabbi said there's a lesson to be learned over here. Esav's midah is, everything is hayoim, everything is for today. Have a physical pleasure, enjoy yourself, what you look at, what you speak, what you listen to, what you do is now. Enjoy it, pleasure. But if you thought for a moment what you're giving up, and you thought on the other side that poker game till 4 o'clock in the morning, that movie by Mesiras Nefesh on that small screen that you're watching till 5:30 in the morning, what's that going to do? That's going to affect your tomorrow. So if you're only looking for today in a hanami, but if you're looking for the future, and you're looking for your future life of ruchnius to live like a yid, not like an Esav. So then you'll think about the future and you won't think about today. Rabbi said, this is a gewaltige lesson. The Eitz Ahor does it to all of us. The Eitz Ahor says, have life, enjoy it, we're young, come on, go here, let's go there, let's do this, let's do that. Hold on a minute. Did you ever think, hold on, how is this going to affect your future? Judaism, Yiddishkeit is not about now. It's a slow process. It's about every day, a shachris, a mincha, a mariv. Every day opening up a gemara, even if it's a little bit difficult. But eventually, the gewaltige ava, the gewaltige life of a ruchnistic life is way, way beyond all those pleasures that finished many years ago and have gone down the drain and are finished and forgotten about. There was a successful businessman, a director of a huge company. He gets to his desk one day after many, many years of loyal service. And he comes to his desk and there's a message on every single person's desk. The company has been liquidated. Everybody's asked to leave. Take your belongings from your desk and your drawer. Please leave the building. And unfortunately, the whole company is going bust. So he says, he can't believe it. Nobody told him. He's one of the directors of the companies, but obviously the big bosses didn't tell him. He starts emptying out his drawers, or his, you know, papers and his files and his pens and his pencils, and he puts them in a big bag, in a big box, and off he goes, and all the workers are going out their door. And there's a security guard by the door. And this security guard is looking to make sure that nobody takes anything from the property of the actual company, only took their own personal belongings. And when he gets, he's one of the directors of the company, when he gets this security guard, she goes, excuse me, sir, I need to check your box. And he is so, he's crazy. There's smoke coming out of his nostrils, out of his ears. He says, I gave this company my life. I gave this company my blood. And this is what you're worried about, a few pencils that I may have stolen. And he comes back afterwards and he realized he gave up his entire life for the company. He left out his kids. He wasn't there for his kids. He wasn't there for his wife. He never had a family because his work, his work, his work, his work, his work. And what did they leave him with? Nothing. He left it with a life that he realized that he missed out on everything. Rabbi said, we don't want the same mistake to happen to us. We don't want to wake up in 50 years' time and look back and say, oh no, what a life we're in now. We missed out. What a shame. We gave up everything for what? These are the years of your life that are molding your future. Take the opportunity to live like a Yaakov, not like an Esau. Don't always think about now, instant gratification, everything's going to be happy and well and good and geschmack. And for now, it's a slow process which eventually leads to so much happiness and tremendous fulfillment that you won't have to live like an Esau. You won't have to live like a Hayoi man. Rabbi said the Rosh Hashanah should give us all so much siyata d'shmaya. We learn this lesson of this week's parasha. It teaches us a mahalach hachayim. It teaches us how to live life. We should all be zoicha be'ezah Hashem to look at life in the right perspective, to enjoy life to its fullest extent, but in the Torah fashion, in the way of ruchnius. Not that everything has to be instant and now and enjoyable. And think a little bit about our future as well. Think about the actions that we do in this world affects everything that's going to happen for us in the future. And Be'ez Hashem, the Omer should give us Siyat Dishmaya and the Gevaldige Shabbos.